Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
I'm excited because I believe what I'm about to share with all of you was something that God put on my heart months ago. And I brought it up a couple of times with Pastor Craig, and we've talked a little about what it means to have ownership. Ownership in our church, ownership in our own personal lives, ownership in our walks with the Lord. And I'm excited because I believe that as we take this on, as we step into a new level of ownership, that God is going to continue to lead us as a church into a new season. So last Sunday, most of you were here. We had our annual church celebration and business meeting. It was an awesome time of just reflecting on what God has done over the last year. We have some newly elected board members. We're excited for four new board members, and it's just going to be an awesome year. I'm excited for that. And so I was just thinking about, okay, God, like, is this the time to talk about ownership? Talking about going to a new level of saying, God, I'm all in with you. And I believe that it's timely and that God wants you to hear all of this. God wants me to hear this today because it's time for us to walk into a new season as a church. I hope that today you leave feeling refreshed and encouraged and perhaps challenged to be the best version of who God has called you to be. If you're here with us this morning for the first time, maybe you're new to church. Maybe it's been a long time for you. I hope that you feel welcome and a part of our family. That is my goal each and every week, whether you're coming in for the first or the millionth time, that you feel part of our family. Regardless of where you're at in life, what background you come from, or where you're at in your faith journey, I believe that today this message is for us all. Because we're all in this together. So I heard this song this week. There's a new small album from Hillsong United. We do a lot of Hillsong music here in worship. And it was talking about how wherever we're at in life, that he loves us right where he finds us. That his grace in our lives is enough to cover all of our shortcomings. And I just couldn't help but think about how that's where we are all at. We're all in that boat today, wrestling with who we were and who God wants us to be. We wrestle with that tension between living how Christ wants us and also being painfully aware of our own humanness. But that's what the church is all about. It's about regular, normal people being challenged to act more like Jesus today than yesterday. We might struggle and make mistakes and strive, but that's what makes following God so great. There is no expectation that we come into church and that we act more cleaned up than we actually are. The only thing that God wants us to do is to live surrendered, and that happens at every stage of our walk with him. Whether you've been serving God for years or whether you're at the beginning of that faith journey today, we all have to come to that place of desperation and surrender. So that's where the story begins today. How do everyday normal people become more like Christ? And then in turn, how do everyday normal people help others experience the grace that we experience every single day? How do we step up to that plate and own the call that God has placed on our lives? How do we really step into that? Our key passage today is in Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. This is in the New Living Translation. And it says, "Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourself together with peace. That is absolutely what we did last week at that all-church celebration. Bound us together in unity. In verse 4, for there is one body and one spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father, who is over all and in all and living through all. We're going to focus in today on that first aspect of this passage. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. So what does this really even mean? So there's this word here we see, calling. If you have been to church before, especially if you grew up in the church, you've probably heard this word. You know, we have a calling. Like, I grew up in the golden age of the AG where we would go to summer camp, and there would be a night usually where we would have a specific message, and many of us would seek out, what's my calling in life? Am I called to the ministry? This is something that I have wrestled with my entire life. Am I really called to the ministry? Because I don't know that I can actually look back on a specific time or moment in my life where I was like, yes, this is the call. You know, I remember many times at camp really trying to figure out, God, what am I supposed to do? Am I called into this thing? And even as a pastor, sometimes I wrestle with that. Am I really called to the ministry? You know, I have friends, and they've had these, you know, really extravagant moments where they were crying at the altar, and they just felt, you know, that God was saying, yes, like, you're supposed to be a pastor. I've never had that moment. The reason why I got here, how I ended up as a pastor at Casper Faith, was because I just recognized who I was in the kingdom of God. I recognized how God had gifted me, and I just chose to step into a role. I recognized that there was an opportunity to serve, and it has been the best steps in my life of saying, God, that I'm all in. I'm going to own this thing that you've put in front of me. But I believe that there's more to this word than that kind of hyper-spiritual camp moment, like a calling. And the reason why is because a couple of weeks ago, my dad was here, and he spoke on being a disciple. He talked about how, you know, there's multiple accounts of Jesus saying, go into all the world, preach the good news, make disciples, etc. And that is directed to all of us. Paul is not directing this verse specifically just to pastors or people that feel that they're called to the full-time ministry. Because if you're in the family of God already, you have a call on your life to go and make disciples, to share the love and the grace that we've experienced, to share Jesus with others. So I am going to dive in a little deeper here. I'm a teacher, okay? Many of you know that I teach dance at 307 Dance Academy. It's just kind of my style as a speaker. I like to teach people. I want substance. I want to go deeper. Like, how can I apply this to my life? How can I encourage and challenge the other people in my life to take this on as well? So if we look deeper into this passage, into the original Greek word behind the word we see here, calling, we find the word klesis. So klesis is a Greek noun, and it means calling, of course, but it means even more than that, to be used of God, inviting all people to receive his gift of salvation with all his blessings that go with it. So turn to your neighbor and say klesis. We're going to have a little Greek lesson here. Klesis. This word here means calling of God, inviting all people to receive his gift of salvation with all his blessings that go with it. That's what the Greek dictionary that I was using says. It means we're being beckoned to live in the grace of his free gift of salvation, but also in the blessings that come with it. That's what this idea of being called means. So he's saying, I beg you, church, live the life that measures up to you being called into his grace. We've all been called out of darkness into his light. That's what his word says as well. You've been called into this place of freedom, of joy. I want you to live a life that exemplifies that equals freedom, so that when someone looks at your life, they say, that person has something different going on. They're full of freedom. They're not tied down by the same things that other people are. And it doesn't mean that people look at you and they think you're perfect. It means that they can see, despite your struggles, despite the things that you're going through, that you have that X factor. You have something special, something behind all of your endurance, all of your faith, all of your joy. God has extended this incredible gift to us. And if you're already a believer, awesome for you. If you're not, you picked a great day to be here because God today, even in this very moment, is extending you this offer, this calling to receive his gift of salvation, grace, and then the many blessings that go with it. Strong's New Testament dictionary says even further that klesis, this Greek word we're looking at, is used of one whom God declares worthy of the calling which he is commanded to be given him, and therefore fit to obtain the blessings promised in this call. So there's promises involved here as well. God is true to his word. When we enter into that life, when we say yes to him, we're saying yes to everything involved. We're saying that we're all in. We're saying that we're going to own it through the struggle, because God definitely doesn't say it's going to be easy. So turn to your neighbor again and say, it's not going to be easy. But despite all of those things, he promises his blessing. He promises his faithfulness. He promises his provision along the way. So again, we're here today and God is beckoning us, calling us into living his fullest life. But what does that really mean? What does that mean for you and I? How do we really walk this out? So I would encourage you today, today's spring forward, daylight savings time. I got up way earlier than I wanted to today. Let's just be honest. You know, I talked a little bit about the humanness factor. You know, we're all human in this place. It is a tired day. It's cloudy outside, you know. So I'm just going to challenge you today to stick with me, because we're talking today about abundant life. We're talking about the life that God wants us to live. So try not to snooze on me. I know we're tired. So if you need to loosen up, you know, hit your neighbor, whatever it is, so that we don't miss it. Because I believe, again, that God has a special word for us. So in Acts 2:42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Moving on, verse 43. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. What do we see here? We see an example of the early church, a church culture where people were involved with one another. I've used this passage before many times. I'll bet you if you were to look back on the last 10 messages that I've preached over the last 4 years, almost 4 years of being on staff here, at some point in the majority of them, I've mentioned Acts 2:42, because it's true to my heart, especially as a small groups pastor, that this is about community. We're supposed to do this together. So yes, I've used this passage before in talking about the importance of community. But even bigger than that is this realization that the people in the early church were all in. They owned that call. They said, hey, we've had this life-changing experience with God. We've experienced his grace. We've experienced his goodness in our lives. We've experienced his salvation. For many of them, they were Gentiles, and before this season in life, they did not have the access that other people had to the Lord, to his truth. They're saying, we've experienced his salvation. He's given us purpose and life and love, and now I want to live that out. I'm going to live my life through that lens of inviting, encouraging, challenging other people to be a part of it. It wasn't enough just to say, I've experienced this and I'm going to, you know, stay in my lane and you know, do my own thing. It was, I have been transformed by this truth and I want other people to experience that as well. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." Basically, this verse is saying that we're repping God. We are his representative to the world. We're actively representing him and his character to others. One other verse that I don't have up on the screens, it's Matthew 28:18-20. It says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations.'" He's saying, you have a part in this. You're my representative. This message, this transformation, this thing I've put inside of you, this love that you've experienced, it's up to you to go and share that with other people. So what am I trying to say with this? I'm saying that we as a church, as believers, as disciples, need to realize that what the church does, what the body of Christ does, who we really are, lies with us all taking ownership to be who God wants us to be. We need to realize, again, I'm going to say that again, that what the church does, who we really are, lies with us taking ownership to be who God wants us to be. It's so easy to say or feel or act like the responsibility is with somebody else. Well, I'm not a full-time pastor. You know, I work 50 plus hours a week. You know, it's hard for me to get out in the community and to, you know, try to spread this. Well, you know, I'm a real busy person, so I'm gonna focus on me. I'm gonna do my own thing. And I struggled with this. I'm gonna be honest with all of you today. Hope that's okay. Because a lot of times when I've come in and I've preached, a lot of people expect something creative because I'm a creative person. I think my best work was Mother's Day 2 years ago when I had the Sermon on the Mount, and I had a different flower, and each flower had a special meaning and all of that. And I wanted to, you know, do something creative today, but I felt like God wanted to bring a message of challenge. And so, yes, I hope that you're encouraged today to be this and walk this out. But more than that, I hope that you're challenged. Because the responsibility doesn't lie with the person that you're sitting next to today. It lies with you. You're the ambassador. You're the person that could be the difference to the person that you're going to interact with at work this week. You're going to be the person that's going to see that person at Starbucks that needs prayer, needs to be encouraged, needs to be lifted up. They need to hear God's truth. The responsibility lies with you. And we as a church cannot be the kind of church that's going to just stick to ourselves. We have to continue to go out. We have to continue to be not just doers or hearers of the word, but doers of the word, to be involved in the community, to be thinking about, God, today, how do you want me to be that ambassador? How do you want me to reach out? So this is where it gets difficult. In Luke 9:23, it says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." Like, the humanist side of me, I'm like, pass, hard pass. Don't sign me up for that. Like, I don't feel like taking up my cross today. That does not sound comfortable or fun or convenient. And you're right, it isn't. But it's what God asks of us to do, a response to his freedom and his goodness in our life, to say, God, I'm going to take up that cross and I'm going to be the disciple that you've called me to be today. It doesn't say whoever wants to be my disciple can have both whatever they want in life and also follow me. It doesn't say whoever wants to be my disciple will casually fall into living a radical life of love. It does not say that. It says that they must deny themselves and take up their cross daily. This isn't even my message. I could literally sit here all day and it would be like hard for me to hear. It'd be hard for everyone to hear because it's convicting to think about this idea of taking up my cross. It's a tough one. But I figure, like I said, I've been here for 3.5 years. You guys know that I love and I believe in you. And I believe that if we catch on to this today more than yesterday, that this week, maybe even today, that someone else's life is going to be transformed because you decided to own the call today in a greater way than you did yesterday. So this is a tough verse to apply and to own up to. But the truth hurts sometimes. It challenges us to step up in a way like never before. We need to come face to face with what it really actually means to follow Christ, the blessed life, and the difficult. So we're going to talk today about six ways to own it. I'm going to own the call. That's what I think of sometimes when I'm in a hard workout at the gym. You guys know I love my gym. Think about owning it. I'm going to go into this workout, and I'm going to crush it. And it's going to be painful, and it's going to hurt, but I'm willing to go through that for the growth process. I'm going to own this thing. So number one, and if you're following along in your notes, this is the place where you can do the diligence to fill it in. Number one is love your neighbor. Mark 12:30 through 31 in the NIV, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all of your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. The Bible is full of examples of how followers of Jesus sacrificially loved people who were different than them. So this is, again, where the challenge comes into place. Because it's easy to love people like us. It's easy for me to love somebody that's positive. You know, positivity, if you've ever taken the Strengths Finders test, that is my number one strength. Of all of the, you know, like, I think it's 50 strengths or whatever, number one is positivity. That means that I'm probably going to annoy you at some point in my life with how positive I am. Like, it could be worse, you know? It could always be worse. But my point is that it's easy, you know, to love on people that have the same interests with you. It's easy to love on people in conservative America that have conservative American values. It is not so easy to love on somebody who is different than you, to love on somebody that has a different belief than you, that has a different identity than you, that has a different upbringing, that believes something different than you. But we see that all throughout the Bible, people loving on other people in a radical way. They loved on people who were despised in their community. We see people in the Bible who were loving on others that were mess-ups, that were marginalized in society. There are examples of people in the Bible who loved on other people who were dangerous to society. People who were outcasted because of their moral choices, people who had different beliefs than them, people who were enemies of God, people that were filled with demonic spirits, people that were living lives that were against the gospel, and they loved on them in a way that was radical. And it was through this love that God brought redemption, grace, salvation, and freedom to others. Again, it was that realization that, God, you have brought me in my own life. The verse that I love so much, and I already mentioned it today, is that he's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That was my story, living the majority of my life as a teenager and my young adult years in a place of darkness. I did not know who I was in the kingdom of God. I did not grasp that identity. And when God brought me out of that, it was literally like light. And I just remember thinking, there are people in our world that don't have this kind of access. They don't have truth in their lives to speak light to their darkness, to speak truth to the lies over their lives. So for me, I'm like, man, I want that for other people because I was transformed by it. We live in a polarizing climate. You cannot deny it. It's dangerous for you to say one thing or another because you could completely isolate yourself from someone just for having a belief, for being a Christian. So it's that much more important to love others in a way that radically pushes past those boundaries. Amen? Past those things that isolate or polarize us, whether that's morality, whether that's politically, whatever it is, loving in a way that pushes past those boundaries and those differences. So that's the first one, love your neighbor. The second is open your circle. Be the kind of person that welcomes others into your life, into your family, into your friend group. Invite people over, ask them to coffee, always have a seat at the table. Be open to inconvenience. Ugh. Inconvenience. That's a tough one for me because I live my life completely stacked. It's hour to hour. Tomorrow, I come to the church around 8:45. I get off of the studio at 9. There is not a lot of margin. This is something that I'm working on in my life for there to be more space. So when I feel inconvenienced in the middle of that crazy schedule, it's hard for me to go, there's a seat at my table. Sometimes it doesn't feel like there's a seat at my table because I need to get from point A to point B in this amount of time. That's my own fault. I need to do better at that. But the reality of it is that's what we see in Scripture. With Jesus, there was always a seat at the table. Always a place for you. Oh, no matter where you're coming from, what you believe, what your background is, there is a seat for you at this table. And I'm going to entertain you. I'm going to love on you. I'm going to make you feel part of this. And that's why church is so awesome. That's why Casper Faith rocks. Because there's always a seat here for you. Whether you come in and you're like, yes, I know all of this. This is good. You know, I've gone to church before. I receive all of this. Or people are coming in that have no concept for God's truth. There's still a seat for them at this table. So I would challenge you. I know that this is hard. This is challenging to go, I'm going to open my circle. I'm going to do that more this week. But I promise you, that's what Jesus would do. And the freedom and the joy that comes from that is worth the sacrifice. It's worth the inconvenience. So that's number two, open your circle. Number three, I'm gonna go through these quick because I got six of them. That's like breaking cardinal rules of preaching. You're not supposed to have 6 points, but here I am. Three, help move the mission forward. That means to volunteer, to help out, to step up to that plate. Here's the reality, and I'm not asking any of you to do something that you cannot do, but I think most of us, if we were to take a hard look at our lives and our schedules, that there would be room for us to help out more, whether that's here at the church, helping out in the community, to step up to the plate. The reality of it is that we need help. Barb needs help on Tuesdays. Actually, we need help every single day of the week with the thousands and thousands of pounds of food that come in and out of our church every single week. We need help on the worship team. Like if some of you are holding out on me and you're a singer, you know, shame on you. No, don't. Not shame on you. But we need help. And so there is an opportunity for you to be a part of moving the mission forward. So if you have a heart for something, if you have a heart for homeless ministry or something like that, you need to get involved with our food pantry ministry. We see people come in all the time that are down and out in life and they just need somebody to listen to them. I've been coming in sometimes on Tuesday afternoons, just talking with a few people. It's been awesome just to dial into someone and really listen to where they're at. Some of you are great at that. But you love taking people out to coffee or whatever. Come in on Tuesday. There's plenty of coffee. I'll make you some. I have a whole lab in my office. You know, be involved. Step out in how God has already gifted you. The last time I preached, I talked about that. That God's given you a unique gifting and a calling, and that you need to step out in that. So help move the mission forward. That's the third part of this idea of owning the call. Number four, seek out joy in the suffering. Like I said earlier, this is not an easy call. It's not easy to serve the Lord. It's not easy to be a disciple. But I love that despite that, that there is joy in the middle of it. In Romans 5, 3 through 5, in the ESV, it says, more than that, we rejoice. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This is one of so many references in the Bible that talk about, despite what you're going through, choose joy. Here's the thing. Like I said, we live in a tough culture. If you don't look for joy, you probably will not find it. There are a lot of days that I do not wake up and feel super joyful in my life because of whatever is going on, challenges, stress that I'm going on. You know, you listen to the news too much. You listen to, you know, certain kinds of music too much or whatever. It could be depressing. But the reality of it is that despite the suffering, despite the hardship, despite whatever you might be going through, sickness, financial struggle, whatever it might be today, that you can find joy if you look for it. Like I said, God tells us that suffering and hardship is part of life. Honestly, it's a part of life whether you're following Christ or not. We will face challenge. But this is perhaps one of my favorite parts of serving God, that we can still have that joy in the middle of that. We can choose to place our thoughts on good things, on God's provision and faithfulness. We can choose to remember that regardless of how things pan out, that we're going to a place where there is no pain. We can have joy knowing that God promises that he will be with us. His joy is our strength today. So if that's something that you struggle with, like me, again, it's acknowledging that humanness, that human side of me, I would encourage you to choose joy. Paul talks about placing your thoughts on certain things. That blew my mind when I started to realize as an artist, as an emotional person, you know, I could, like, if I'm feeling sad that day, it is hard to trump the sadness, you know? But, like, I started to realize that I can retrain my mind by placing my thoughts on whatever is good, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is excellent, whatever is praiseworthy. That's a testament. Mom, you're here. She made me memorize that verse when I was probably like the fifth grade. I was homeschooled. There it is. Just comes out. I can choose where to place my thoughts. And when I do that long enough, when I dwell on gratitude long enough, it starts to change how I actually feel. So I want to challenge you today, if that's what you struggle with, man, place your thoughts on good. Place your thoughts on being thankful, on gratitude, because it changes us. Okay, moving on. 5. This is when it gets good. I like this. We've talked about the hard parts. We're moving on. It's good. Live abundantly. That is a biblical term right there. Abundant life, overflowing life. So we live in, whether you're on social media or not, it's the overwhelming thing in our culture. This idea of, like, live fully, I'm going to live my best life. You know, that's a big hashtag. Hashtag living my best life. And it's kind of, like, funny, and it's a little bit of a joke, because especially in social media, you know, most people don't put on Facebook the hard parts of their lives, and that's not really what this whole thing is about. But the reality of it is that God has called us to live in a place of abundant life. When we fully embrace just how good God is, there is no reason why we shouldn't be full of energy, love, joy, generosity. Our yearly theme this year is what? Seek the King, see the kingdom. When we're looking for the kingdom, we find it. We find it in a great meal shared with family. We find it in our relationships. We find it in every beautiful sunset. We find it in overcoming difficulties and living out our freedom. We live in that. That's where life abundantly comes from, being aware that every moment of every day that God is doing something on our behalf if I would just look for it. So I believe that that idea of living abundantly, again, just like choosing joy, that's up to us. That's up to us to live that way. And lastly, 6, is to look for opportunities to be used in your day-to-day lives. This is how we own it. Paul says, begging you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. that calling we talked about, discipleship, loving on people, it just requires of us to open our eyes and hearts and look for opportunities to be the light. Some of us struggle with this. We wait because we feel like we're broken. We're unqualified to live this calling out. And I'm just so broken. Like, I just come from, you know, there's so many things in my life that are wrong. I don't always live the way that I should, you know, and dot, dot, dot. And I'm here today to tell you that regardless of your brokenness, that God still wants to use you. God still wants to share his love with others, his light with others, despite all of our shortcomings. Again, I talked a little bit earlier about, I love this idea of being a church, because it's a church filled with normal people. And if we're normal people, that means that we have struggles just like the person that we're sitting next to today. So despite those things, God still wants to use us. So don't wait. I'm so guilty of this in my life. Sometimes I'm not feeling it. Like I said, I don't have it all together. Oh, I messed up yesterday, so I'm not a good example. You know, somebody could point back to my mistakes, you know, a week ago, a year ago, 10 years ago. I'm too busy. Someone else will do it. Someone else has that gift. Someone else is going to notice. No, not always. You might be the one that's going to notice. And I know that's a tough pill to swallow, but I want to encourage you to realize that God has called us into his grace. And when we receive that, we realize that I don't have to be pulled together. I don't have to be perfect to be used by him, that there is no limit to how and who he could use to reach others. Realize that today, right where you are at, in this room, in your seat right now, that there is opportunity for you to reach out to those around you. God wants to use you. He wants to bring light to this dark world through you. You just have to own it. And that's where the challenge comes. No one is going to own it for you. This is a me sermon. This is a, I have to own it. I have to step up to the plate. We have to step into that place where we realize that our purpose in life is to walk this out. That idea of a calling that I said earlier, you know, we over-spiritualize this idea of calling. Being a living sacrifice, like Paul says, that's the calling every single day. To make disciples, that's the calling every single day. Living my life as an offering. That's how we own it. If you want to go ahead and just bow your heads, we're just going to take a moment before we close today just to reflect on this idea. And I want you to think about this question. As challenging as it is, am I really living my life through this lens of being all in? Am I owning the call that God has placed on my life? Am I living in that place of grace, accepting his calling, accepting that salvation, and then letting it be reflected in the way that I live? For some of you, you've been halfway in. Maybe you're checking the box of being a good person. And that's part of it. God wants us to live out in a way that reflects his character. But for a lot of us, I know for me as well, it comes with this idea of wanting to do things in my own way or at my own convenience. And God is saying, I want you to be all in today. For some of you, you've been scared to own it because it's out of your comfort zone. Maybe it requires more faith than you're normally able to muster up. Maybe you know that God has been asking you to take a step further. Maybe that's a new direction in life. Maybe that's getting involved in something in a new way. You've been scared to own it because it's out of your comfort zone. God wants to say that I've got you. I'm going to give you everything that you need today to walk that out. For some of you, it's a struggle because it's hard to share with other people. You don't know what to say. You don't know how it'll come across to them. But again, God wants to say, I've got your back. If you would just recognize the opportunities that are in front of you, I'll give you what you need to say. For some of you today, you're letting your past hurts or mistakes keep you in the past, and that's why you're unable to own it. God can't use me because of my track record. I explode out of anger in my family each week. I struggle with an addiction. Whatever it might be, you're letting the past hurt keep you in the past. But God wants to say, today I've got freedom for you, and you don't have to be pulled together and perfect to be all in, to own the calling. For some of us, it's loving your neighbor that's hard to love. Maybe there's a person at your work, a person that you work out with, a person that you see every day at Starbucks or whatever that's different than you. They have a different moral code or standard, different belief system, and it's hard to love them because of those differences. God wants to give you today the grace to step outside of what is comfortable. And then maybe for some of you today, it's for the first time, this idea of owning it, and you want to give your life to Jesus today. If that's you, our prayer team is going to come up in just a moment. In fact, if you're on the prayer team, why don't you go ahead and begin to kind of move into those positions. If that's you, we're going to make ourselves available in just a moment. And I would love for you to come up and find one of them. Find me after service. And they're going to talk you through what it means to say yes to Jesus. But ultimately, it's just you doing that. Saying, God, like, I want to follow you. I might have shortcomings. I might have sin in my life. I might have things that I'm dealing with. But I want to say yes to you. And all you have to do is give your life to God in that sense, asking him to save you from those wrongdoings, and then receive that free gift of salvation that we talked about earlier. That calling. Jesus beckoning you into a place of grace and salvation. And then it just means to start to walk that out, to live your life in the way that he wants us to. So if any of these things apply to you, like I said, you've been half in, you've been scared to own it, you're scared of sharing your faith to others, you're letting past hurts keep you in the past. It's hard for you to love your neighbor, especially somebody that's different than you. Or perhaps it's for the first time. I'm going to give you just a couple of minutes. We're not going to do anything fancy. You're welcome to come forward. You're welcome to make your chair an altar. You're welcome to come up and talk to one of our prayer team members. They're not going to put you on the spot or make you feel weird. We just want to talk with you and pray with you. But I want to encourage you, if any of these things, if you know that there's an area of your life where you need to be more all in, where you need to own the call, I want to encourage you to respond. Not for me, not so I can walk away on the Sunday morning and say, well, I saw 10 people raise their hands and a couple people came up to the altar and it was a good day. Not because of that. Because like I said, this is an I and me kind of a situation today. Only you know where God is calling you and asking you to own it. But I want to encourage you to take some sort of a step, because when we respond to God in an active way, something happens spiritually as well. So God, I just thank you so much for who you are. God, I thank you that you have called us into your light. I thank you that you have brought us to a place where you don't want us to just live the way we've always lived. You've brought us to a place of where you don't want us to stay in the rut, but God, that you want us to own it in a way like never before. God, I believe today, God, that you're extending your grace, you're extending your strength, you're extending your joy and energy to us in this place. I know, God, that you believe in us. You wouldn't have called us to this life if you didn't know that we had what it took to live it out. So I pray, God, today, God, that we would be, yes, challenged by this word, but more than that, God, that we would be encouraged knowing that you give us everything we need to do to walk this out, to walk out this calling. Thank you, Lord God, that you equip us, not because we're qualified in our own sense or because we've got it all together, but because we live in a place of surrender to you. God, I thank you for that. God, we respond to you today.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.